Thankful to be here this morning once again. Thankful to see some old friends and meet some new people. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. I'm going to read to you from three different passages in the Scripture. And Lord willing, we'll try to link them all together. The first perhaps is familiar to you when we take a look at Elijah and him going up to glory. 2 Kings chapter 2, let's start in verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Huh.
And Elisha, okay, so we've got Elijah the prophet. Now here's Elisha. He's going to take over for Elijah. "Elisha saw it, and he cried, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into two pieces." The title of my message this morning is "The Chariot of Israel and the Horsemen Thereof." Some would think that that was just referring to Elijah the prophet, but if you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13... we remember that Elisha, the prophet, was standing by, and he'll live out his ministry in the chapters we just skipped. We come to the end of his life in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, and wept over his face and said, 'O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.'" The same statement there is repeated about Elisha as it was about Elijah. Now we go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And about Christ. Revelation 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen to that. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, and that describes him. So then, we go back to our first text, and we see that Elisha sees his father in the ministry, so to speak, and he's going up, and he's going up into glory with the chariot of fire and the horses on fire, and he cries out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." You see, a chariot in those days was a great tool for warfare. If you had chariots and if you had horses connected to those chariots, it would be a great advantage when you would ride those into the battlefield. You were elevated, maybe you had some spears and whatnot, and you had a great advantage over the enemy where you could trample them with your chariot and the horseman that was riding that chariot. This is what Elisha cries out when he sees that Elijah is gone up into glory. And what he is referring to here is that the nation of Israel had just lost a great weapon. Now, I enjoy living in a free country. Do you? I do. I actually also enjoy living in a country with a strong military, an army and a navy and an air force and a marine corps, and yes, even the National Guard. I enjoy all of those branches of the military, and I'm thankful to live in a free nation that is blessed to have a strong military. Yet even as we look at our military, it does not stand, it does not hold up without the blessings of our God. This nation can get conquered just as easily as other nations have in the past if we're not careful. We need the Lord to protect us. Psalm 20 and verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we," yes, "we will remember the name of the Lord our God." You see, we are not to trust in the powers of this nation that have been built by the hands of men. We are to trust in the Lord our God. It's from Him where we gather strength. It's He, in another phrase here, is our greatest weapon. Jesus Christ on our side. He is our protector. We see within the life of Elijah, you never see him take up arms. You never see him bear a sword. You never see him run out into the battlefield. Yet Elisha says that he is the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You know why that is because Elijah was a faithful man of God. Elijah was an obedient man of God, and he was a great blessing to the nation of Israel. We'll see with the life of Elijah, he kind of comes out of nowhere, doesn't he? And God speaks to him, and he says, "Go over here to this brook, and it is there I'll sustain thee." And he goes over to the brook, and it is there where he drinks from the brook. During a time of a drought, and he drinks from the brook, and he sustained that way. And then the ravens of the air come and bring him food. Isn't God amazing that he would send a raven to bring Elijah food and sustain him at that brook? But you see, when God tells Elijah to get up and go, you know what Elijah does? He gets up and he goes. You know, that's a good lesson for us, isn't it? When God tells us to get up and go, we ought to just get up and go to where he would have us to go. That's exactly what Elijah does. He must have thought, "Lord, you're crazy. You want me to go out here into the wilderness by this random brook, and you're going to feed me with the ravens of the air?" Yet that's exactly what the Lord did, and Elijah was a benefit from being obedient to what God had told him to do. That brook would eventually dry up, and he would go into the city of Zarephath. He said, God told him, "Get up now and go over here." He gets up, and what does he do? He goes, and there he meets a widow. And this widow, she's at the end of a rope. She's got a little oil left and a little meal, and she was planning to make one last cake for her and her son. She told Elijah that, "We're going to eat this, and we plan to die. This is it. We've got nothing else." Elijah goes to her. He says, "How about you do this? How about you make me a cake first? And the Lord will bless us both." Now, I don't know about you, but in my flesh, if some man would have told me that, I would have said, "Better luck somewhere else, buddy. This is my last meal." And last meals are important, aren't they? They make a big deal about them. Last meal. This is my last meal. And I'm not going to give it to some stranger. I'm going to give it to my son. If anything, I'm going to give the whole thing to my son and see what happens. But no, actually, this widow woman, she exercised a great deal of faith also, didn't she? She goes and she makes a cake and she gives it to Elijah first. Elijah eats it. And lo and behold, the Lord is true to his word and sustained them both. And we see that they were both sustained until the famine had ended. Elijah, by the way, would also raise this child from the dead after he lost his life. So we see the Lord working in Elijah and Elijah being faithful to what God had told him. We see Elijah, he would also stand up against idolatry, those false prophets that he went up against when King Ahab was running the show, the prophets of Baal. One of my favorite stories is when Elijah says, call these prophets together. We're going to see what's what right now. We're going to test your prophets, your fake, phony, lying prophets against the Lord God of heaven. He says, get a sacrifice together, pour it with water. And he gives them the first go, the false prophets, and they start crying out. And they were getting so crazy. Remember, they even started cutting themselves to their false god. Can you imagine that scene? Hey, aren't you glad to be a Christian this morning? Aren't we glad this morning that we don't have to do crazy things like that? Here they are. They're going crazy. They're crying out to their Lord. They're cutting themselves. And what I really like about the story, too, is Elijah begins to mock them. He says, cry a little louder. Maybe your God has gone out on a trip, or maybe he's sleeping and you need to wake up. You need to wake him up. And they cry a little louder. And here they go, and they try. And finally they give up. And what does Elijah do? He calls on the name of the Lord. And after filling it with even more water, filling that moat around, dumping water all over it, the Lord consumes that thing with fire. Wow. See, Elijah is the chariot and the horseman of Israel. And he did not have to take up arms and go to war with these false prophets. All he had to do was call upon the name of our Lord, and the Lord answered. We see here also, turn with me to 1 Kings in chapter 18, that Elijah was a perseverer in prayer. You know, it's a good thing, by the way, for the Lord's people to persevere. We should not only persevere in prayer, but in other areas of our life. It's a good thing to persevere, to push through. So remember, this drought was going on. There hadn't been any rain. And in verse 41 of the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, it says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab," that king, that wicked king, "get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." See, he'd been praying. And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." You see, some of us, when we see that there is nothing after the first prayer, sometimes we tend to quit. We shouldn't quit. We should keep praying. Persevere in prayer. He says, "Go again seven times." And it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." Ooh, the hand of God. And he said, "Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." He said, here comes a cloud. The Lord is about to send rain, King Ahab. He says, if you want to get out of here, you better go now. Prepare that chariot. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Praise the Lord that the Lord provides rain for us. Praise the Lord that he provides day in and day out. Praise the Lord that in this moment and in this time where there was a drought, the Lord sent rain to his people. But we see here Elijah. And what does he do? He's faithful and he perseveres in prayer. And the Lord on the seventh time sends rain. And he provides for his people. You see, with the life of Elijah, we see two things. That his faithfulness was a blessing to individuals. He worked one-on-one, didn't he? He worked one-on-one with folks. And his faithfulness was also a blessing to the entire nation. You know, our faithfulness can be a blessing to individuals. And our faithfulness can be a blessing to many others as well. Therefore, we see this life of Elijah played out. Elisha saw a lot of it. And that's why when he stood by and saw his father in the ministry go up into glory, he cries out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. We just came upon the 50th anniversary of the war in Vietnam. I read an article about it, and There was a religious article in it, and there was a Catholic priest on the battlefield. His name was Vincent Capodanno. Vincent won the Medal of Honor in the Vietnam War in 1967. He did not carry a weapon, but he played a role as a medic and as a minister to the Lord's people. A quote about him said, "You had to watch him like a hawk. As it was not uncommon to see a group of Marines running to get onto a helicopter to go to battle. And all of a sudden, this figure out of nowhere, no rifle, just his priest gear, and jumping into the helicopter before anyone could catch him." What a sight that must have been. This man running through the fields, running through the jungle of Vietnam, and the Marines with their battle armor are getting onto the helicopter. Well, Brother Vincent wanted to get out of there too, and he's running through the fields with his Bible and his priestly gear, and he hops onto the helicopter. A man named Raymond Harton, a soldier at the time, was hit by a sniper bullet on Labor Day in that year, 1967. And he said this about this man of God. He said, "When he touched me, when I thought I was dying, there was a calmness that came over me that I've never felt before or since. He said, 'Stay calm, Ray. Someone will be here to help us soon, and God is with us all here today.'" What an amazing thing to say as you have a man in your arms that is dying. There's a phrase out there that says, "Better to have lost all men in war than this man of God." I think that's how Elisha fell. The army was strong, but yet when Elijah is ascending up into glory or taken up, he cries out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." He was saddened by it. Better to have lost all men in war than this man of God. We go on then to look at the life of Elisha. So the mantle has been passed to Elisha to take it up, to be the prophet of the Lord and the prophet for Israel. And we'll see right from the get-go that Elisha, too, was faithful to his calling. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat." So this is when Elisha is called by Elijah to go. "Who was a plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." He was casting the mantle. He was passing the ministry on here. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Elisha, here he receives his calling. The mantle has been passed to him. What he doesn't say to Elijah is, "Well, I've got a few more years left in me. I want to continue on with what I'm doing and perhaps lay some product away and provide some security." But he doesn't say that. He doesn't do any of that. What he does do is he takes his livelihood. You know, that's what he did here. He took his oxen and he took his instruments that the oxen would use to plow with. And he goes and he takes the oxen. They have a big feast at his home. He kills the animals. And then he takes his instruments and he burns them with a fire. You see, what this is just pointing us to is the faithfulness of Elisha. When Elisha said that I'm all in for the Lord, he really did mean it. He said, "I'll cast these things aside and I'm going to do exactly what the Lord would have me to do." And he's a faithful servant of God going forward here. We continue on to look at his life. He too, he has a lot of similarities with the prophet Elijah. He comes upon a woman who had lost her husband, and she's got some sons, and they're broke. And not only are they broke, but they're also in debt. They owe money. Does anyone know how that feels in here? Doesn't feel good when you owe money. Isn't that the truth? It definitely doesn't feel good. It feels even worse, I'm assuming, if you owe money and you've lost your husband and you got to take care of your kids by yourself. That's got to be a terrible feeling. So this woman's really up against it, and Elisha comes to her. He says, "You have any oil? Here's some more oil in the story, right?" And he says, "Take this oil and gather up all the pots from town." And they go in and they gather these vessels and they bring them in. And he says, "Well, just pour some oil out here." And he prays that the Lord would bless it. The Lord blesses it. And then they go around to all of the vessels, all of the jugs that were brought in. And lo and behold, they're filled with oil. Again, isn't God good? Isn't God good to take the little that we have and provide in abundance? You know, never think that we don't have enough. Never think that you don't have what it takes to serve the Lord. All you need is a little bit, and if you bring that to the Lord, He'll bless it, and you'll be able to do great things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they go out, they have a little bit, they go and they do exactly what the prophet of God said, and lo and behold, all of the vessels are filled with oil, and you know what they do? They go and they sell them. They sell the oil in town, and they get to pay off all their debt, and all I say is praise God. Praise God for His ability to provide for His people. Again, they were both faithful, weren't they? The prophet Elisha was faithful, and this woman and her sons were faithful to do exactly what he said. Here's Elisha also, as we mentioned, that Elijah would raise a child from the dead. So too would Elisha. He would raise a child from the dead. He would spread himself out and put his mouth on his mouth and his hands on his hands. And this boy that had lost his life would then be revived and resurrected from the dead. He leads Israel to a great victory in battle against the Assyrians. And he prays to the Lord. You know, that's a good start when you're, again, we mentioned this last night. If you got a battle in your life, the first step that we all should be taking is praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, there's another battle here. The people of Israel are going up against the armies of Assyria. And Elisha, he prays to the Lord, "Lord, would you smite this army with blindness?" And the Lord answers the prayer. And the people of Israel, you know what they do? The armies of Israel, they surround the army of Assyria. And then you know what Elisha does? He prays again. He says, "Lord, open their eyes." And the eyes of the Assyrian army are open. And when they open their eyes, they're surrounded by the Israel army. Isn't that? Come on, that's a great story. And it's true! Now it's time to slaughter them. No. Elisha shows mercy to the enemy. And Elisha lets them go. And for a long period of time, the people of Israel never had a problem with the armies of Assyria. You know, there are rules to war. There are rules to war. But they showed mercy to their captives. Let them go. And the Lord granted them peace. You see, our ways are not God's ways. Our ways is we got them right where we want them. Let's kill them. Let's destroy them all right now. God says, let them go. And that's what happened. See, our ways are not God's ways. And when they followed the Lord's way, they were blessed abundantly. So we see within His faithfulness that he was a great blessing, Elisha, to the individual and to the nation of Israel. And that is why King Joash, when he laid by the deathbed of Elisha, he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. See, Elisha too did not take up arms. He did not strap on his machine gun or his AK. He did not get his drone out that drops bombs. Now that's modern warfare right there, using drones. He did not do any of that, but his greatest weapon was going to the Lord in prayer. Yeah. Now to Jesus. Jesus Christ proved that he was the Son of God in all the miracles that he did. Jesus Christ was and is for the individual. Jesus is for his people. He's for you today. And he would go to the individual and he would help them. He would go to the blind man and give the blind man sight. The lame would be brought to him and he would give the lame strength. He would go to the woman who had lost her son and resurrect him from the dead. You see, Jesus Christ was for his people. And Jesus Christ, too, did not take up arms in order to get done what he had to get done. But he did it with peace. Amen. And he also did it with prayer. As Elijah and Elisha would, he did it with prayer. Turn with me to John chapter 17. You know, this is the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
This is the true Lord's Prayer. Now, do you all believe that every prayer that Jesus offered up was answered by the Father? Yeah, I do. I believe it. Here's a prayer. Here's a prayer for us. John 17, chapter 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Well, praise the Lord for Jesus Christ and him praying that, that you and I might have eternal life. God answered this prayer. That means this, that you and I this morning have eternal life. Isn't Jesus awesome? That in prayer, he would pray this, that my children might have eternal life. I'm here to declare to you this morning that ye have eternal life, and it's in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I tell you what, I'll take Jesus Christ over Arnold Schwarzenegger any day. Because you know what? That superhero, he never prayed anything like that for me. Actually, Arnold Schwarzenegger's never done anything for me, really. This is a man of God here. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what does he do in prayer? He prays that his people might have eternal life. All that God had chosen have eternal life. And it gets even better. Verse 3, he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know that prayer has been answered. And I'm thankful this morning that I know Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm thankful for the scripture that you read this morning, brother, that in the new birth, that the laws of God are written on the hearts of men and put into their minds. I believe this morning that every born-again child of God has somewhat of a knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They might not be aware of it, might not confess it, but they have it in the new birth. And here we have, this is life eternal. Okay, let's read that again. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. My friends, we don't have to wait until we're dead and gone to experience eternal life. You can experience eternal life right here and right now. The scriptures tell us to lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it this morning. Enjoy it as you live. And this will get you from one day to the next, knowing that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is his prayer, and his prayer has been answered. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou hast gavest me, and thou hast received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst sent me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Isn't it amazing to you this morning that Jesus Christ prayed for you? He prayed for you. Individually, Jesus prayed for you. And we've been set aside, we've been sanctified. And we have this great blessing that God has prayed for us, and that we might be, we'll see here coming up, we see a great oneness with God. In verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. That's a good prayer too, by the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you prayed that for me, that I would be separated from this world and that evil might not come upon my life. Thank you, Jesus, for praying that for me. You know what? I'll also take Jesus over Sylvester Stallone while we're at it. I'll take him over any philosopher, any false god, any teacher, anyone with any worldly wisdom. I'm going with Jesus Christ because he's prayed this for me. He says in verse 16, they are not of the world. Amen. You know what? We are not of the world. We're in here for a brief time, but we are not of this world. Even I, as I'm not of this world. Jesus is not of this world either. Verse 17, he says this. Here's another great blessing. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Set them aside. Set aside your people. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Do you believe that this is the word of God? Jesus said, sanctify them. Set them aside through thy truth. Thy word is true. See, this is better than anything that's ever been written. You know, a lot of books have been written. We would probably be okay if no one ever wrote another book. The existence of the world. We probably already have enough books we can't get to. And a lot of those books, you might get some good ideas. You might get some thoughts, good thoughts in them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to not read other works. But this word trumps every word. This is the inspired, written word of God. And Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to be sanctified? I do. I want to be separate. I want to be set aside for a holy purpose. We can be sanctified by reading God's word and doing what it would have us to do. What a prayer that Jesus is lifting up on our behalf. Verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they, listen to this here, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they, okay, Jesus is in the Father. The Father's in Jesus. They're together. They're one. That they, now he's talking about us, also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. One with Jesus. What an amazing thought that is. That we don't always, I know a lot of times we let our flesh get the best of us, don't we? You know, it doesn't always have to be that way. We are to be one with Jesus Christ. We are to be one with the Father. And this is possible through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Aren't you glad this morning that this prayer is answered? That we are going to be where Jesus Christ is. Aren't you happy this morning that we are heaven bound? We are heaven bound based on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's good doctrine, isn't it? That Jesus was before the foundation of the world. That the Father loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. That the Father chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. The Father loves Jesus Christ. We're in Jesus Christ. The Father loves you and I also. Praise God. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. That's okay. But I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. Do you know that the Father has sent Jesus Christ? Well, that's evidence that the prayer has been answered. You and I know that the Father has sent Jesus. And I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. He won't stop. He's declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Praise God that we have the love of God. Praise God that we are one with the Father. Praise God that we are one with Jesus Christ this morning. God has been good to us. See, it's better to have lost all men in war than this man of God, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this morning, we haven't lost him. We didn't lose him on the cross. We didn't lose him when he was placed in the tomb, but he came out of that tomb and he lives today. We have not lost our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is with us this morning. And let me tell you this, Jesus Christ is better than Elijah. Would you agree with that? Let's not put Elijah on a pedestal where he shouldn't be. You know, Elijah had his own flaws, did he not? We see at one point Elijah gets so discouraged. He goes over, he doesn't go under a mulberry tree, friends. He sits under a juniper tree. And he sits under there and he says, "Lord, I'm all by myself. I'm done. Just take my life. I've had it. I'm worn out and I'm weak and I can't serve any longer." He says, just take me home into glory. Aren't you glad? I bet Elijah was glad that the Lord did not answer that prayer. Yeah. You ever think about that? He never would have been taken up in that whirlwind if the Lord answered that prayer. He said, "Get up, Elijah. Come over here on top of this mountain and look over here." He says, "I've got 7,000 knees that haven't bowed to the prophet of Baal." He says, "I still got a people out there." We could get that way sometimes too. We see a small crowd perhaps, and maybe we get discouraged on a Sunday morning that the place is not filled up. But be encouraged, my friends. God's people are out there. God's people are out there, and there's a lot of them. Don't get discouraged like the prophet Elijah. Get out from that juniper tree and continue on in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah, he's not a perfect man. He gets discouraged, and he wants the Lord to take his life. We see the same thing with Elisha. Now, I will say this, there's no stories that really bring out the flaws of Elisha, but we know that he was a sinner, right? We know that he was a sinner because he died, first and foremost. He died. And then there is a story, and I don't know if this points to one of his flaws, but I'm gonna share it with you because I like the story. Elisha is going along, Prophet Elisha, he's going along, and these kids come up. And apparently, Elisha is bald. And they start making fun of him. They say, "Hey, old bald head, there, old bald head." And Elisha turns to him, and he puts a curse on the children. And bears come out of the woods, and they devour the children. That's another crazy story, isn't it? I tell the kids at church, I say, "I know I'm going bald. I realize that. It's getting worse by the day." I said, "If you ever start to make fun of me and my bald head, I'm going to warn you of this story, the prophet Elisha." Now, was that story showing that we ought to reverence the prophets of God and not do that? Perhaps. But does it show Elijah's quick temper? Perhaps. You think to yourself, couldn't you have done something a little less extreme? Did those kids really deserve to die? But that's what happened. So, regardless, we know that Elisha was a sinner because he died. He lost his life. See, he was not perfect. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there was one, and there is one, that is perfect. And his name is Jesus Christ. We're not perfect. We fall short time and time again, don't we? I hate to break it to you this morning, but your pastor and Brother Marty is not perfect. Brother Victor, you're next. But that's a given. Brother Victor is not perfect either. Neither am I as I stand before you. What an honor it is to get to proclaim God's word, I'll say that. That this sinner gets to talk about God. It's a fearful place, but I'm thankful that the Lord allows sinners to come before his people. And hopefully he's blessed to preach and to feed God's people. Because we need a refreshing from time to time, don't we? And we need the Lord to be with us. And he will be with us. Because he's much better than Elijah, and he's much better than Elisha. He's much better than any prophet. He's much better than all of the apostles. He's much better than anyone who has ever preached the name of Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is faithful and true. And we see that in the scriptures. that there is something called the spiritual Israel that points to the elect family of God. It points to God's children. And that Jesus Christ, He is, when I read this and when I start to connect these dots, He is the chariot and the horseman. But when He comes back, He's not going to be riding upon a mule as He did that one time going into Jerusalem. He's not going to be riding even a horse of fire. He's coming back, as we read in Revelation 19, He's coming back on a white horse. Isn't that something? He's coming back on a pure horse. And my God, this morning, He's a strong God. He's a mighty God. He's coming back on a white horse, and He's coming back with all the angels in glory. What a scene that's going to be. And the scriptures say here that He has a few names, and one of His names is Faithful. Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a faithful God? Sometimes we are not faithful. And that's why when we sing the hymn in the hymn book, we say, "Great is Thy faithfulness." We don't say, "Great is my faithfulness," do we? We say, "Great is Thy faithfulness." And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus Christ has been faithful to me all the days of my life. He's been faithful to me even when I am not faithful. He's been faithful to me. He's been true to me. He's a true God. There are so many gods that have been made up in this world, gods that have been made by the hands of men. And if you start to study those teachings, you'll find that there's a lot of lies written in those words. But my friends, you will not find one lie that's written in the Word of God. This book is the book of truth, because it's written by someone whose name is Faithful and True. His vesture is dipped in blood. Let us never forget about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by His blood that we are justified, eternally speaking. We are not justified by our own good works. We are not justified by coming out to worship Him on a Saturday morning. We are not justified by our church membership. We are not justified by our baptism, eternally speaking. We are justified by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that alone. Amen. Isn't God good? That it's not by our works. He goes to and forth. He goes to conquer the wicked nation. He goes up against the wicked and He destroys them. He brings the wrath of the Almighty. That is the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to tell you this morning that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rules this morning. He's still alive and He's still ruling and reigning. He's sitting on His throne and He's interceding with His people. Praise God. He is the chariot and the horseman of the spiritual Israel. We need to be looking for Him. Again, He told us to put our swords in our sheath. Our greatest weapon, just like the prophet's greatest weapon, just like Jesus Christ's greatest weapon, it's still ours today, that we can go to God in prayer. And He will hear us. He hears our prayers. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the greatest. He's greater than Elijah. He's greater than Elisha. He's greater than King Solomon, King David, all the kings of old that we love to read about. Jesus Christ is greater than any person who's ever walked the face of the earth. My friends, aren't you glad this morning that He's in our corner? Jesus Christ is stronger than the United States of America and its Army and its Navy and its Air Force and its Marine Corps. Jesus Christ is stronger than that. Praise God that we serve such a mighty and magnificent God. May we always praise Him. May we always praise Him. May we always look to Him before we look to our own strength. Because at the end of the day, we really don't have any, do we? We don't have any strength. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Without Jesus Christ, my friends, we can't do anything. May we rely to Him. May we look to Him to fight our battles, to be with us, and to just guide, bless, and direct our steps. I hope these words have been a blessing to you this morning.